Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dan Trotter, Pretty Good Bible Studies. I am now in Jeremiah chapter 37, which I will entitle Jeremiah Imprisoned. We start now in Jeremiah 37, 1 through 3. Zedekiah, he ruled from 597 to 586, son of Josiah, who ruled from 640 to 609, was made king of Judah by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He, that Zedekiah, reigned in place of Jehoiachin. Jehoiachin reigned for 3 months between 598 and 597. Zedekiah reigned in place of Jehoiachin, who was the son of Jehoiakim, who ruled from 609 to 598. Now, this is all chronological information for which there is no debate, which is very rare, and there's nothing controversial about it. But as a matter of introduction, we need to pinpoint the time that Jeremiah wrote this chapter, and we will see it is during the final siege of Babylon in 586. When Babylon came in, there's disagreement on whether it was an 11-month siege or a 30-month siege, but we're right near the end of Zedekiah's reign and the end of the kingdom of Judah. In verse 2, Jeremiah says, "Neither he, that Zedekiah, nor his attendants, nor the people of the land, paid any attention to the words the Lord has spoken through Jeremiah the prophet." Now that's obvious, as we have gone through this chapter, nobody listened to Jeremiah, which must have been sort of frustrating to think he had such little influence. Verse 3, King Zedekiah, however, sent Jehukal, son of Shelemiah, with the priest Zephaniah, son of Maaseiah, to Jeremiah the prophet with this message, "Please pray to the Lord our God for us." Now notice that word, however, in verse 3, King Zedekiah, however. In other words, despite the fact that Zedekiah hadn't listened to a ding-dong darn thing that Jeremiah had said, he nevertheless sent two messengers to ask Jeremiah to pray for the kingdom. Now why would he do that? That's such hypocrisy, I mean, really. Zedekiah wanted prayer when the king and the kingdom were in trouble. And yet they ended up throwing Jeremiah in a cistern, which we'll see in the next chapter. He's going to end up in prison in this chapter. But oh no, when times are bad, we got to get the great prophet to pray for us. We don't like what he says, so let's throw him in jail. Now, why did Zedekiah all of a sudden ask Jeremiah to pray for him? Well, it could be because of a rumor the Babylonian army was approaching for the first time. Or it could be, and I think most probably, that this request for prayer was during the time the Babylonians lifted their siege, during that final, I'm going to say, 30 months of the siege. The Babylonians had to raise the siege to go deal with the Egyptian pharaoh, Hophra, who was coming up to help King Zedekiah. And during that interval, when the Babylonian army was gone, Zedekiah probably knew that the Babylonians were going to come back, and so he's asking for prayer because he's worried about what's going to happen when they do come back. Now notice that Jeremiah didn't really answer the prayer. He didn't answer the prayer for prayer. He didn't answer the request, except to give a doom and gloom prophecy, which we'll read about in verses 7 through 10 when we get there. But Zedekiah, through his two messengers, is coming with his hat in his hand. "Please pray, Jeremiah. We're in trouble here." Now the two people he sent were Jehukal, son of Shelemiah, that's the first messenger, and Zephaniah, son of Maaseiah, the second messenger. Now this Jehukal is going to show up later in the next chapter in Jeremiah 38. He was one of the officials who urged Zedekiah to kill Jeremiah, and he was one of the officials who subsequently threw Jeremiah into a cistern, trying to kill him. I'll read Jeremiah 38:1. "Now Shephatiah, son of Mattan, Gedaliah, son of Pashur, Jukal," that's the same as Jehukal, "son of Shelemiah, heard the words Jeremiah was speaking to all the people." And if you read the rest of the chapter, in chapter 38, Jukal helped throw Jeremiah into the cistern. So he does that evil thing, but now in chapter 37, he's coming very politely and saying, "Please pray to the Lord our God for us." Notice the "please." How polite. Sounds like Uriah Heep, Eddie Haskell. "Please pray." Well, all the time, I'm sure he's thinking, "I can't wait to throw you in jail, Jeremiah." Well, that was Jehukal, one messenger. The other messenger was Zephaniah, son of Maaseiah. Now, he shows up a good bit in the book of Jeremiah. Let me summarize his story from Wikipedia. Quote, "The son of Maaseiah, the second priest, the Sagan, in the reign of Zedekiah," the second priest is a substitute priest. The high priest is out of town, can't do his duty. Sagan, the second priest, stands in for the high priest. So the son of Messiah, Wikipedia says, the second priest in the reign of Zedekiah, often mentioned in Jeremiah as having been sent from the king to inquire regarding the coming woes which he had denounced. It says often, I can only find two times he did that. I'll read them for you in just a minute. Two times he came to Jeremiah. The king sent me, please help. So he came to entreat, Zephaniah, son of Messiah, did, the prophet's intercession that the judgment threatened might be averted. He, along with some other captive Jews, was put to death by Nebuchadnezzar II at Riblah in the land of Hamath. That, of course, is the famous execution scene that took place before the final exile to Babylon in 586. Let me read you the scriptures that Wikipedia is mentioning here. Jeremiah 21, 1 through 2. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord when King Zedekiah sent Pashur, son of Malchijah, and the priest Zephaniah, son of Messiah, to Jeremiah. Now notice this is another embassy. Zephaniah is accompanied by not Jehukal, but by Pashur, son of Malchijah. Ask the Lord on our behalf, say these two, since Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, is making war against us. Perhaps the Lord will perform for us something like all his past wonderful works, so that Nebuchadnezzar will withdraw from us. Now these two ended up putting Jeremiah into the stocks overnight. So, once again, these were not nice people. Jeremiah 29, verses 25 through 29. This is what the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, says, you, speaking to a man who has been exiled to Babylon named Shemaiah the Nehelamite, you in your own name have sent out letters to all the people of Jerusalem, to the priest Zephaniah, son of Messiah. And so this prominent exile, Shemaiah the Nehelamite, exile in 597, I'm sure, sent a message to our Zephaniah, son of Messiah, saying, the Lord has appointed you priest to be the chief officer in the temple, responsible for every madman who acts like a prophet. And so Shemaiah the Nehelamite, the prominent exile, is saying Jeremiah is acting like a fool. He's saying that Babylon is going to win. Shemaiah continues speaking to Zephaniah, son of Messiah. You must confine Jeremiah in the stocks and an iron collar. So now, why have you not rebuked Jeremiah of Anathoth, who has been acting like a prophet among you? And Zephaniah, the son of Messiah, the priest, read that letter in the hearing of Jeremiah the prophet. He went and took the letter to Jeremiah. I don't know if he was trying to protect Jeremiah, trying to give him a heads up. I don't think so. I think he's probably trying to do it to put some pressure on him, saying, hey, man, this people want to put you in jail, Jeremiah. And now we read of Zephaniah the son of Messiah's demise in Jeremiah 52, in verses 24 and 27. The commander of the guards, that's the Nebuchadnezzar, that's the Babylonian guards, also took away Seraiah the chief priest, Zephaniah the priest of the second rank. He was the Sagan. He's our Zephaniah, the son of Messiah. In verse 27, the king of Babylon put them to death at Riblah in the land of Hamath. Well, Zephaniah, the son of Messiah, got what he deserved. Now we go to Jeremiah 37, verses 4 through 10. And we read this. Now Jeremiah was free to come and go among the people, for he had not yet been put in prison. We're going to read about him getting put in prison in this chapter. Pharaoh's army had marched out of Egypt, and when the Babylonians who were besieging Jerusalem heard the report about them, they withdrew from Jerusalem. Now this is the what I will call the interlude. It's not exactly clear when Zephaniah the son of Messiah and Jehukal went to Jeremiah and asked for prayer. I think we can reasonably speculate that they did it during this interlude. We don't know that. Well, let's stop reading here and talk about this interlude. The Pharaoh who came out of Egypt, according to Albert Barnes, was the Pharaoh Hophra. Herodotus called him Apries, A-P-R-I-E-S. I hope I pronounced that right. We read about this situation in Ezekiel 17, verses 15 through 21. However, this king, referring to Zedekiah, revolted against Nebuchadnezzar, by sending his, Zedekiah's, ambassadors to Egypt so they might give him horses and a large army. Will he flourish? Will the one who does such things escape? Ezekiel says. Can he break a covenant and still escape? Can he break a covenant with the king of Babylon and still escape? Rhetorical question. Answer is no. As I live, this is the declaration of the Lord God, he will die in Babylon, which is exactly what happened to Zedekiah, blinded. He will die in Babylon, in the land of the king who put him on the throne, in the land of Babylon, in the land of Nebuchadnezzar, whose oath he despised and whose covenant he broke. Pharaoh will not help him with his great army and vast horde in battle, when ramps are built and siege walls constructed to destroy many lives. He despised the oath by breaking the covenant. He did all these things, even though he gave his hand in pledge, i.e. to Nebuchadnezzar. He will not escape. Therefore, this is what the Lord God says, as I live, I will bring down on his head my oath that he despised and my covenant that he broke. I will spread my net over him, and he will be caught in my snare. I will bring him to Babylon and execute judgment on him there for the treachery he committed against me. We know from other scriptures that Zedekiah died in exile in Babylon after having been blinded. He was blinded, I think it was at Riblah, got to see his sons executed. Then the Babylonians blinded him and shipped him off to exile. All the fugitives among his troops will fall by the sword, and those who survive will be scattered to every direction of the wind. Then you will know that I, Yahweh, have spoken. Now see, if Zedekiah just listened to Jeremiah, he would have saved himself a world of trouble. All right, so we go back to Jeremiah 37, verse 6. We're in the midst of this interlude when the Babylonians had checked out to go deal with the Egyptian Pharaoh. Verse 6, Jeremiah 37. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of me, tell Zedekiah, Pharaoh's army, which has marched out to support you, will go back to its own land, to Egypt. Then the Babylonians will return and attack this city. They will capture it and burn it down. More bad news from Jeremiah. This is what the Lord says Jeremiah. Do not deceive yourselves, thinking the Babylonians will surely leave us. They will not. Even if you were to defeat the entire Babylonian army that is attacking you and only wounded men were left in their tents, they would come out and burn this city down. A little bit of Hebrew hyperbole there. So Jeremiah tells Zedekiah, you're doomed, Zedekiah. So this request that Zedekiah made through his two messengers for Jeremiah to pray for him wasn't answered. Jeremiah not only didn't pray for Zedekiah, he said, you're finished, buddy. It's over for you. Now in verse 7, Jeremiah tells Zedekiah that Pharaoh's army will go back to Egypt. Josephus says there was a battle fought between the Egyptians and the Babylonians, a battle which the Babylonians won, and the Egyptians were put to flight and drove them all out of Palestine and Syria. There's no scriptural reference to the defeat of the Egyptians there, but I'm not surprised that they did it because they came back to Jerusalem and continued the siege. So I will assume Josephus has that right. We go down to Jeremiah 37, verses 11 through 15. After the Babylonian army had withdrawn from Jerusalem because of Pharaoh's army, that's the interlude, Jeremiah started to leave the city to go to the territory of Benjamin to get his share of the property among the people there. Now, this is a perfect time to leave Jerusalem because the Babylonians are gone. The property that Jeremiah is going to get is his land that he had bought from his cousin, whose name I forget right now, but he had a cousin who sold him land in Anathoth. If you remember in Jeremiah 32, Jeremiah bought that land, which, of course, was very cheap because everybody thought the Babylonians were going to wipe everything out and land would not be of any value. But Jeremiah bought the land as a sign to the Israelites that one day the land's going to be worth something because there are going to be people returning from exile in Babylonia. That was an interesting chapter. Chapter 32, Jeremiah got the deed in chapter 32. Remember, he had to bury it in a clay jar somewhere, probably in the land. But anyway, he's going back up to Anathoth to get his land, to get possession of his land. And Anathoth is about 3 or 4 miles to the northeast of Jerusalem. Now, that's right in the path of the oncoming Babylonian armies. That's the only way you can attack Jerusalem. There's deep valleys on all the other three sides of Jerusalem, so the Babylonians would have been there if they had not gone down to meet the Pharaoh of Egypt. And so this is the perfect time for Jeremiah to leave. The Babylonians are gone, not blocking his way, so he tries to go to Anathoth. Unfortunately, he doesn't make it because we read in verse 13, but when he reached the Benjamin gate, That's the gate to the north that goes to the tribe of Benjamin, which was north of Jerusalem. But when he reached the Benjamin gate, the captain of the guard, whose name was Irijah, son of Shelemiah, son of Hananiah, Irijah arrested Jeremiah and said, "You are deserting to the Babylonians." "That's not true," Jeremiah said. "I am not deserting to the Babylonians." But Irijah would not listen to him. Instead, he arrested Jeremiah and brought him to the officials. They were angry with Jeremiah and had him beaten and imprisoned in the house of Jonathan the secretary, which they had made into a prison. Now, it was reasonable, I suppose, for Irijah to think that Jeremiah was deserting to the Babylonians because he had been preaching that the Babylonians were going to win, and he had done it publicly over and over again over the years. And so Irijah reasonably assumed that Jeremiah was deserting to the Babylonians. Jeremiah says that's not true, and he proved it, because when Nebuchadnezzar gave Jeremiah the option of either going to Babylon or staying in Jerusalem, Jeremiah stayed in Jerusalem. He could have gone to Babylonia, but didn't do it. He put his walk where his talk was. But Irijah would not listen to him. Instead, he arrested Jeremiah, brought him to the officials. I'm just going to call this group the officials from now on. We'll look at some individual names when we get to the next chapter. They were angry with Jeremiah and had him beaten and imprisoned in the house of Jonathan the secretary. Now, the secretary is probably a high-ranking official of Zedekiah. His house was probably near the king's palace. I just speculate that. And for some reason, they used his house to turn into a prison. It was a prison probably used for state prisoners. John Gill says it seems to have been a bad prison. Must have been, because Jeremiah thought he was going to die there if he stayed there. So we go down to Jeremiah 37, verses 16 through 17. Jeremiah was put into a vaulted cell in a dungeon. And I'm assuming this is in the prison in Jeremiah the secretary's house. Jeremiah was put into a vaulted cell in a dungeon where he remained a long time. Then King Zedekiah sent for him and had him brought to the palace, where he asked him privately, "Is there any word from the Lord?" "Yes," Jeremiah replied, "you will be handed over to the king of Babylon." More bad news from the weeping prophet Jeremiah. Now, he was put into this jail cell in the house of Jonathan the secretary for a long time. That probably refers to the time of his imprisonment till the time that the Babylonian army returned from dealing with the Pharaoh, the Egyptian Pharaoh. While he was there, verse 17, Zedekiah sent for him and talked to him privately. Why was the king wanting to talk to Jeremiah? Well, probably because the king was frightened by the approaching Babylonian army. On the surface of it, we think that it's sort of strange that the king would suffer Jeremiah to be in prison and yet want to hear him prophesy. Why do you want to hear from a prisoner? If you think he's such a great prophet, why don't you give him some honor as a prophet? Well, it could be that Zedekiah allowed Jeremiah to be in prison when he was cocky and arrogant, but all of a sudden the fear of the Babylonians coming back might have softened his attitude a little bit. We see later that Zedekiah is going to release Jeremiah from this prison and put him in another less severe prison in just a minute. So maybe Zedekiah has gotten a little bit afraid of the circumstances, and he's starting to give Jeremiah a little bit more credit than he's done in the past. This reminds me of Herod imprisoning John the Baptist, but then he would go down to the prison and listen to John the Baptist prophesy. There's something captivating about prophets who are speaking the word of God, captivating even to tyrannical kings and rulers. Now, it could be that Zedekiah really didn't want to put Jeremiah in prison, but he had done so for political reasons, to satisfy his officials, because it's obvious the officials really wanted him in jail, as we'll see in the next chapter. That might be why Zedekiah is speaking privately to Jeremiah, so his officials wouldn't find out. Zedekiah knew his officials bore no goodwill to the prophet, and if Zedekiah went down and talked to him, the officials would be ready to charge Zedekiah with timidity, and that's not good for a king. It's really ironic here, though. Zedekiah is asking for advice from the very prophet his officials want to kill. He asks the question, "Is there a word from God?" Jeremiah says, "Yes, you're going to go be handed over to the Babylonians." Now, Jeremiah risked his life by answering that way, or at least he risked severe treatment than he had already gotten, because he was speaking truth to power, and power doesn't like bad news. Kill the messenger. The treatment he was already getting was life-threatening, and it could have gotten a lot worse. Jeremiah was a gutsy son of a gun. Speaking the word of God takes a lot of guts. I think of a relief pitcher, a Christian guy, pitching for the Minnesota Twins, who in the last couple of days said that we should not drink Bud Light, not go to Target, because they're pushing transgender perversion on kids openly. And he says Christians need to stand up, and oh, you can imagine what happened next. The cancel culture arose in its perpetual offense. Call him a bigot. You know, these people are going to end up giving bigotry a good name. They keep calling Christians bigots. 2 + 2 = 4. You're a bigot. You don't respect the people who say that 2 + 2 = 5. We go now to Jeremiah 37, verses 18 through 21, and we will finish this chapter. Then Jeremiah said to King Zedekiah, "What crime have I committed against you or your officials or this people that you have put me in prison? Where are your prophets who prophesied to you, 'The king of Babylon will not attack you or this land'? But now, my lord the king, please listen. Let me bring my petition before you. Do not send me back to the house of Jonathan the secretary, or I will die there." King Zedekiah then gave orders for Jeremiah to be placed in the courtyard of the guard and given bread from the street of the bakers each day until all the bread in the city was gone. So Jeremiah remained in the courtyard of the guard. Now, since Zedekiah had come to Jeremiah privately, Jeremiah had a chance to ask for some help. And he asked a rhetorical question, "What crime have I committed? I haven't done anything wrong. Why am I sitting here in this prison?" And if you think I've done wrong by prophesying falsely, think about, in verse 19, your prophets. Your false prophets. Where are they now? I suppose they've run off and hidden now that the Babylonians have come after they have prophesied incessantly that there's peace and peace. But I, Jeremiah, tell you there is no peace, and historical circumstances tell you now, Zedekiah, there is no peace because the Babylonians have come to attack our land and they have put Jerusalem under siege, even though they're temporarily gone now. So your false prophets are false. So I haven't done anything wrong. I just told you the truth. And in verse 20, Jeremiah very politely says, "But now, my lord the king, please listen." Notice the "please" there. Notice with what deference Jeremiah speaks when on private, not prophetic, business. This is his private situation now. He's not talking about the word of the Lord. He just wants to get out of that prison. He says, "If you don't get me out of here, if you don't get me out of the house of Jonathan the secretary, I'm going to die here." Now, why did Jeremiah think he was going to die in that particular prison? Apparently, his treatment was very bad. Apparently, nobody was feeding him. Bread was scarce during the siege, and that's probably what he feared. Now, it could, and that's probably what he was afraid of. But now, he could have assumed he would be trapped there in the prison of Jonathan's secretary when the Babylonians burnt Jerusalem down. But he was trapped in an easier prison, the courtyard of the guard, when the Babylonians burnt Jerusalem down, and they let him go. But Jeremiah didn't know they were going to let him go. But he could have been worried about that, but I think he was worried about not getting any food. Well, King Zedekiah didn't spring him completely. Took him out of the prison of Jonathan the secretary and put him in the courtyard of the guard. Now, that is a guard that was in the king's palace complex right south of Mount Moriah where the temple was, right below the temple. And apparently there was a house where the guard stayed, and in the courtyard of those houses was a prison. And so Jeremiah is placed there, and he was fed bread from the Baker Street every day until all the bread in the city was gone, but he still made it because he didn't die before the siege was over. So Jeremiah remained in the courtyard of the guard, verse 21 finishes up with, he remained there until the day that Jerusalem was captured. Now there is some exception in that remaining time. He was in the courtyard of the guard, but there was an interlude when he was thrown into the famous cistern that was in the courtyard of the guard. So let's read about that. This is a sneak preview for the next chapter. Jeremiah 38, verse 6. So they, Zedekiah's officials, took Jeremiah and dropped him into the cistern of Malchiah, the king's son, which was in the guard's courtyard. That's where Jeremiah was, and so was the cistern there. Lowering Jeremiah with ropes. There was no water in the cistern, only mud, and Jeremiah sank in the mud. Verse 13 of chapter 38. And they, that's referring to the men of a gentleman named Ebed-Melech, pulled him up with the ropes and lifted him out of the cistern, but he continued to stay in the guard's courtyard. So he's still staying there until the Babylonians came and burnt the city down. in the courtyard of the guard, the guard's courtyard. Verse 28 of Jeremiah 38, Jeremiah remained in the guard's courtyard until the day Jerusalem was captured, and he was there when it happened. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to leave Jeremiah in jail in the courtyard of the guard here at the end of verse 37, which will enable us to go in our next audio to chapter 38, which I will entitle Jeremiah Cast into the Cistern. I hope you stay tuned for our recounting of these sad events, and I hope that you enjoyed this audio.